are in a series titled Growth Track, and those key indicators to know where we are in our walk with the Lord are know, grow, go, and so. And the first one is know, as Pastor Jordan talked about last week. Do you know him? Have you come into a personal relationship with him? The second marker is grow, and that's what we're going to be looking at today, because you cannot grow unless you know him. And here's the deal. Write this down. Our goal is to be fruitful, not comfortable, not successful, fruitful. Write that down. And as you're doing that, turn in your Bibles to John 15, verse 1. John 15, verse 1. And right here, just as you're turning to John 15, verse 1, I want you to know that what we're seeing right here is the final lesson to his disciples, to Jesus' disciples. This is less than 24 hours before he is arrested. Right here, Judas has already turned him in. They're in the upper room and they're having a conversation. So all that is going on right now, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He is telling them, look, I am about to leave you. He just got done saying that in verse 14. They're actually walking out of the upper room. And he says in the last verse of chapter 14 of John, he says, come on, let's go. And then he opens up the conversation in John 15, verse 1. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit, so that it will produce more fruit. Verse 3, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you, just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine. Neither can you unless you remain in me. Verse 5, I am the vine. Every time you see that in your Bible today, I would just underline, I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. Verse 8, my Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Verse 11, I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Verse 12, this is my command. Love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. And so let's go back up to verse 1. Again, we see Jesus talking to the 11 disciples right now. Judas has already rolled out. In verse 1, it says, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. I would underline that word true. And right here, this is a very common language to all the disciples. Why? Because they knew any time that the word vine was used because of the significance in the Old Testament, this was not a good thing. The vine was not something that you would talk about in the Old Testament that was a win. It was actually a negative. Why? Because in the Old Testament, God referred to Israel as the vine that would go through Israel and that God would use this and it would bear fruit. The problem was Israel kept screwing it up and they kept messing it up. Let's look at Isaiah 5:2. It says, he broke up the soil, cleared it of all stones, and planted it with the finest vines. He built a tower in the middle of it and even dug out wine press there. He expected it to yield good grapes, but it yielded worthless grapes. Let's look at another verse. Jeremiah 2:21 says this, I planted you, a choice vine from the very best seed. How then could you turn it into a degenerate foreign vine? This is continuing in the Old Testament where you see the vine being something that didn't really work out, a vine that was not producing fruit. Jesus comes along and says, here's the deal. I am the true vine. He is saying that he is the fulfillment of Israel. He says that a person is no longer a part of God's people simply by being joined to the nation of Israel. Rather, a person needs to be joined to him. He is the true vine. He is the true Israel. Jesus says simply, I am the vine. You can't be anyone else's vine. You know, a lot of times people will try to be a vine by helping people and giving them hope. I need to love them. I need to give them all they need. I need to do all these things for them. If not, they're not gonna make it. Here's what you need to remember. It says that in the very beginning of John 15, verse 1, it says, I am the vine, as in Jesus is the vine. You are not the vine. You are a branch. And we cannot allow anyone else to be the vine. Sometimes we even look at other people to be the vine for us so that we can plug into them. Again, he is the vine. We are the branch. And then look what it says in the rest of verse 1. It says, and my father is the gardener. Those are things that my kids never say. They never say, my dad is a great gardener. My kids don't ever say, man, he is really good in the yard. And the truth is, let me be honest with you, I'm trying really hard. I am trying so hard to be able to be good with the plants and the trees and my grass and all the stuff. And so what does it mean when Jesus says, my father's the gardener? Here's what it means. It means that there's a cost to connection. Just like it costs something for us to connect to Wi-Fi. Maybe you're on the plane and you're excited about having Wi-Fi. I know for me, I thought it was free. First time I ever got on there with Wi-Fi. I'm like, no, it's gonna cost however much it costs to get the Wi-Fi. And what did I do? I paid for it. Why? Because I wanted Wi-Fi. The same thing is true anywhere. It's gonna cost to be connected. And it's so much more true, and it's so much more prevalent, and it really matters when he says, my father is the gardener. Why? It's because we need to expect to be pruned. A good gardener always prunes so that the plant produces fruit. In verse 2, we see Jesus telling his disciples, every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. Man, that sounds brutal. If you look at the word removes in the beginning of verse 2, that word is translated cut off, removes, take away. And that sounds like, man, if I don't do anything, then I'm gonna be gone. Meaning it sounds like Jesus saying, if you don't do anything for me, then I'm gonna cut you off, which is absolutely wrong in this translation. In the original Greek, where the New Testament was originally written, that word right there, removes, actually is pointing to lifting up. In the Greek, right here, we see lifting up, meaning this. When the vines were not producing fruit, it says not that he's gonna cut them off and get rid of them right here, because remember, he is talking to his disciples. He is talking to believers. He's actually saying he is going to lift them up. A good gardener will clean up the dusty vines and lift them up. When a branch is not bearing fruit, remember, we are the branch. When a branch is not bearing fruit and it is connected to the vine, sometimes it just needs to be lifted up and connected with other healthy vines. When we start to know God, we may need to change our scenery to truly grow toward him even more. You ever been lifted up or cleaned up? Maybe somebody else came around you and was loving on you and you were having a hard time and you're in a place that was dirty and dusty. And just think in those moments of that person that came to you and they helped you and they loved on you and they lifted you up and how your life slowly started to change. There's so many stories of this, of people who, man, they were one way and they had accepted Christ, things were going, but man, they were in a place of dust and dirt. There was no growth happening and somebody came along and lifted them up. I know for me, that's my story. I know for me, that is my life. It makes no sense what God has allowed me to do for him. God has taken me from one place and placed me in another environment so that I could grow for him. He placed me around people that love me. He placed me around people in college that I could grow with. He placed me around people outside of college and to different churches and ministries, and people just started to love on me and lift me up. And maybe today for you, that's the one thing that you're gonna hear today. Maybe that's you. Maybe today you are in the dust. Maybe today you're on the ground and you're not growing and there's no fruit coming from you. And I just want you to know that maybe you need to just switch your position. Or maybe you're here today and you're watching this and you know somebody who needs you to go and lift them up. And do that. I would do that today. Because by you lifting them up is lifting them up to the Father, the gardener, who is able to do so much more than we could. And as we continue in verse 2, it says, "And he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit." The word for prune is the same word translated cleanse in the Greek. The vine dresser cleans up the fruit-bearing vine so that it will bear more fruit. Remember our goal. Our goal is not more things. Our goal is not to be all these known and for popularity. Our goal in life is to bear fruit. Look at Galatians 5, 22 through 23. It says this, "But the fruit," singular, "but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things." Again, notice how it says the fruit. And our goal is to produce fruit. Each of these, love, you can't have joy without love. You can't have peace without joy. You can't have patience without peace. Each of these build on the other. We are being pruned so that we can grow in each of these areas. The Lord prunes and we grow. He prunes and we grow. He prunes and we grow. Man, maybe for you, like I'm so busy. I'm a busy human. And so I'm bearing a lot of fruit. No, busyness doesn't equal fruitfulness. We need to prune the busyness. For some, that pruning is painful. And here's what I need you to know. Even though pruning may be painful for you, it's also very profitable. When we get pruned, we are taking back some of the stuff that is not helping us. And it's actually cutting it away so that the nutrients and the energy and God can pour into those areas so that we can grow fruit. I mean, there's things in our lives that that God knows that we have got to get cut off, that we've got to get pruned so that more fruit can come in those areas. And you know what those areas are. For me, some of the greatest moments in my adult life, and it's weird for me to say the greatest moments of my adult life, were when I was being pruned. I mean, the extreme difficulty in the first 3 years of my marriage, pruning, hitting the end of my rope at one point in my life and wanting to end it all, pruning. I didn't ever say in those moments, man, that was awesome. Those were the greatest first 3 years of my life being married. No, those were the hardest years of our marriage. Or man, it was so awesome whenever I was down, super depressed, not knowing where to go, had no way out. No, I never said that. It was the hardest moments of my life. And here's what I know, is that right now, those were the moments of pruning that now I have seen so much fruit from those areas. And there's so many more. Because right now I see my wife so much differently. I see people differently. And I see God differently. Pruning can be very hard, but it's very profitable. 2 Corinthians 12:10 says this, "I take pleasure in weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and in difficulties for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, I am strong." And right now, maybe you're in a season of pruning. It doesn't mean that you're a bad person. It doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't love you. It means that there are some great things coming. That means that fruit is about to be coming. To grow, we're gonna have to be pruned. You cannot have a comeback without being cut back. And what we prune is going to come back stronger and more fruitful than ever. We need to remember that these disciples right now, they are 24 hours away from Jesus being put on the cross. They are 24 hours away from cursing him and acting like they don't even know him. And in verse 3, he says to them, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." He's saying to his disciples, he talks about, first, I am the vine, my Father is the gardener. And then he goes into, you know what, where you're going to have to be pruned through a season. And then he says to them, you know what? You're already clean. You've already been lifted up because of the word I have spoken to you. He's saying this, you already know me. You know who I am. You believe in me. In verse 4, it says, remain in me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine. Remember that. He is the vine. We are not the vine. We are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. Jesus is telling them, you cannot grow in your walk with the Lord unless you are connected to him. Don't give up. Don't stop. Yes, you're going to have hard seasons of pruning. Yes, you're going to do things that, man, I'm like, you may be like, where is God in all of this? This may be a super hard season for you. You may feel all alone. You may feel anxious, and you may think that everything is happening around you and you don't get it. Well, here's what I want you to know is that maybe you're in a season of pruning. And he says to remain in me in verse 4. He says, the one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit. Because what happens to humans is we start to get out of control and we realize, why am I not producing fruit? Why am I angry? Why am I lonely? And then we start to feel guilty. And what do we do when the guilt and the shame hits is we start to go backwards and we start to get away, especially from the Lord. If you have asked Jesus into your heart and he is the Lord of your life and you know him, then your next step is to grow in him. And when you grow, it's gonna be hard at times. And I wanna encourage you to remain in him. Because you feel like maybe you've messed up, because you feel like, man, I can't step foot into the church. Maybe you feel like you're not good enough. I just want you to know that is so not true. And that's what the enemy wants you to hear. What Jesus wants you to know is to remain in him. I mean, Peter was one of his disciples. Peter told Jesus, I will never forsake you. Peter is telling Jesus, I got you, you're my boy, I'm never going anywhere. If anybody asks, yeah, I know you. Well, Jesus says, no, you're going to forsake me. Matter of fact, I'm gonna tell you the exact time that is gonna happen. And then after Jesus is crucified, some people come up to Peter and like, hey, Peter, do you know Jesus? And he's like, no, I don't know him. Why would I know him? I have no idea who that is. And they ask him again, he's like, no. And he gets completely against Jesus. You want to talk about guilt? You want to talk about shame? Is Peter, who was walking with Jesus. Peter, who said, man, I will do anything for you, Jesus. Peter, who walked on, Peter denied Christ. Well, when we can fast forward a little bit, there's a time when Jesus comes back. Whenever he dies, he rises again and he comes back and he's sitting on the beach. And remember, Jesus is alive right here. Peter and some of the disciples are out on the boat. And as Jesus is there on the beach, Peter sees Jesus. And what does he do? He doesn't hide and like, oh no, there's Jesus. I denied him. He doesn't cower down because because Jesus said, hey, you're probably going to deny me. And Peter's like, no, I won't. I won't. I promise. I promise. I promise. And then when it comes down to it, Peter actually does deny him. And in this moment, what we see with Jesus on the beach and Peter on the boat, Peter not cowering down and feeling bad, like, oh, I need him to go on. No, Peter is the first one to get out of the water. He's actually swimming to Jesus. He's the most guilty one, was the first one to get to him. Because when you know him, as Peter did, when you know him, you are gonna grow in him, not running from him, not hiding from him. You remain in him. And I hope that's encouragement to you today. Like, remain in him. It's okay. Maybe for some of you, it's coming back to him today. In verse 6, it says, if anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Right there, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's talking about people that do not know him. And the question you need to ask yourself, do you know him? Not just know of him, not know about him, but do you know Jesus today? If not, we want to make sure that you do not stop watching this service, that you do not leave until you know him. And you're going to have an opportunity to know him at the very end of this service. And then Jesus continues, and he goes into verse 7. And he says, if you remain in me, again, he's talking about remaining. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit to prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. As you grow in his love, you will obey his commands. It's not do to be approved. It's not I need to do all these things so that he loves me. It's just you love him and you get to obey his commands. In verse 11, it says, I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. If anyone or anything is your vine, there is no joy. And you may be asking yourself today, man, I have Jesus. I feel like I've known him for a long time. I feel like I'm even connected to him, but I have no joy. So my question would be, what are you connected to? If anything is your vine besides Jesus, then I would say it makes sense there's no joy. If marriage is your vine, then you won't have joy. If work is your vine, then you won't have joy. If your kids are your vine and they're a good thing, but they're not Jesus. If working out is your vine, if making money is your vine, then you won't have joy. The only way that we will have joy, as it says in verse 11, is that our joy must be in him. We must be connected to the vine. And it's so easy to connect to so many different things. I mean, this device right here, this cell phone, is a very, very powerful device. There is more technology on this cell phone right here than there is the first spacecraft that went to the moon. There is more technology right here. I mean, I use this for everything, just like all of you. You may be judging me right now. Why do you have your phone out at church? Well, you're on your phone too, so it's okay. But I use my phone for so many different things. Man, I check the weather. I use FaceTime. I use the calculator on here. All sorts of different stuff I use on this phone. And the truth is, if I just woke up in the morning, I don't know if you ever had this problem before, where you wake up and it wasn't charged, and it's dead. I mean, that's literally what we say. We don't say my phone's not charged. We say my phone is dead, which is very interesting because all we had to do was connect it to the power source. And of course it's dead because it wasn't being charged. And I think some of the worst things that happen are not only when our phones are dead, but sometimes when we drop our phone. I don't know if you've experienced this before, but for me, when I drop my phone, it's like, oh no. You go slowly down to your phone and it's face down and you're like, oh. Some of y'all never start praying so hard until that moment right there. And you pick it up, you don't look, because if you look, and for some it's shattered. You're like, no. But for some, it's not shattered. And today, that's so true of so many of us. Some of us have been shattered and we're broken and we don't know what to do. We have so much power inside of us. We have so many things that God can do in us. And we feel like just because the outside of us is shattered, and we feel like just because what we look like may not be what it should be, we feel like we don't have any power inside of us. And I want you to know right now that you have so much power inside of you. You have amazing power. Why? Because of Jesus. And if you are not connected to him, then you have no power and you're going to die. And today, maybe you need to reevaluate a few things. What are you connected to? Are you connected to the Lord? You really want to grow in your walk? Man, I'm telling you, connect to him and stay connected to him. Maybe right now something's coming to mind that you're connected to that's not the Lord. I want to encourage you to disconnect and connect to him. because he is the true vine. There is nothing else that's gonna satisfy like him. There's nothing else that's gonna give us the power like him. No matter how shattered, no matter how broken you may feel, nothing else is going to do that besides Jesus. And so how do we stay connected? How do we stay abiding in him? Prayer, simply praying. And I say simply is because prayer, sometimes we can make it too hard. We gotta use big words, we have to do all these things. And man, prayer is simply talking to God and remaining in him and staying connected to him. Reading your Bible, man, this right here, there is so much power in the Word of God. Are you in the Word? Maybe for you, you've made excuses like, I don't want to do that. It takes too much time. It's not worth it. Well, I just want you to know you're missing it. And maybe that's why you feel so disconnected to Jesus, because you're not connected through his word. This is how he speaks to us, is right here, through his word. Or maybe worship. Maybe some of you who are watching online, you haven't been able to come into a corporate worship with other believers. I want to encourage you, no matter where you're watching, to do that as soon as you feel comfortable or that you're able to. Corporate worship, and also your private worship, your time alone with God, is so big in staying connected to him. And then I want to talk about solitude. Not isolation, but solitude. Solitude is staying connected to the vine alone with him. Isolation is just you by yourself and just being isolated, which is very dangerous. But solitude, being alone with him, where you find time to be alone. And maybe that's early in the morning, maybe that's in the evening, maybe that's in the afternoon, where you are taking time to stay connected to the true vine. And then in verse 12, he says this. This is my command. Love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. I just want to talk about the beginning of verse 12. Love one another as I have loved you, period. It doesn't say love other people if they look like you. It doesn't say love other people if they talk like you. It doesn't say love other people if they, no. It just says love one another, period. As I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. Jesus Christ is telling his friends, he is telling his disciples that I love you so much. I want you to be like that, and I want you to love other people, and I love you so much, and I want you to stay connected to me, and I want you to remain in me, because I am the vine, and it may be really hard at times, and you may feel like life is not going good for you. Jesus is saying right here, I love you so much that I am gonna be cut off so that you can be grafted onto the vine. He is saying, I am going to die. I am going to give up my life for you so that you can live. Have you accepted him into your life? Do you truly know him? If you have never asked Jesus to come into your life and you do not know him, I want you to just pray this simple prayer right now. Just say, Father, forgive me, wash me clean. I want to know you. Come into my life. Forgive me. And if you just prayed that prayer right now for the very first time, asking Jesus into your heart, I want you right now to text the word saved to 74784. That's right, the word saved. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or maybe you don't want to text that in, I would encourage you to go to extendedfamily.church right now. There's going to be a link at the bottom of this chat, and just go to extendedfamily.church and push saved. And the second you do either of those options, we are going to be able to connect with you and help you take these next steps with Christ so that we can continue to get you connected to the vine. Or maybe you're here today and you're like, man, I feel dirty, I feel gross, I don't like where I'm at, there's a lot of things going on. And I wanna go back to the very beginning of John 15, verse 2, when it says that he lifts you up. And I want you to know that maybe today you are gonna get a little change of scenery. Maybe today you need to make a decision of some things that you need to get away from, or maybe that you need to stop doing, so that he can lift you up and you can get that junk off of you and you can walk in freedom. You know, with growing, It's hard work. There's growing pains. There's different things that happen. And for us to grow in the Lord, we must remember, even though it may be hard, and even though there may be great days of joy, that our goal is to produce fruit. Father, we come to you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for everything that you're doing through this series of Growth Track. And I pray, God, that you use it for you. We pray right now, God, that we first, we know you. And God, that once we know you, we can start to grow in you. And God, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.